I'm Kurt Anderson, and this is Studio 360.
Time now for a Shakespearean play.
The hullabaloo over Shakespeare's 500th birthday is going to be epic. So thank God this month is only his 450th. Still, it is interesting to me how Shakespeare's presence in our culture has had such a resurgence during the last couple of decades. More big stage productions than ever in my lifetime, more big movie adaptations, even movies about him. In fact, on one of the very first Studio 360 episodes ever, I talked about that growing Shakespeare mania with George C. Wolfe. Wolfe was then the artistic director of the New York Shakespeare Festival, and he's still one of the most influential people in American theater. We spoke not long after Shakespeare in Love came out, and the Ethan Hawke Hamlet movie, and Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet, as well as George C. Wolfe's own stage production of The Tempest, starring a man best known for captaining the Enterprise.
Then was this island, save for the sun that she did litter here, a freckled whelp, hag-born, not honored with a human shape.
Yes, Caliban, her son.
Dull thing, I say so. He that Caliban, whom now I keep in service. Thou best knowest what a torment I did find thee in. Thy groans did make wolves howl and penetrate the breasts of ever-angry bears. It was a torment to lay upon the damned, which Sycorax could not again undo. It was my art, when I arrived and heard thee, that made gape the pine and let thee out!
George, I don't know why you chose to cast Patrick Stewart, other than the fact that he's a terrific actor, but the fact that he's famous as Star Trek's Captain Picard from TV does speak, I think, to the current efflorescence of Shakespeare in all kinds of unexpected places.
Exactly. Well, I mean, Shakespeare was a popular artist, so it makes perfect sense that people are now claiming him in very intimate and very personal and in a broad spectrum of ways, because I think it's so wonderful that he's been taken off of some bookshelf and is now in the mix of everybody who wants to claim it and find themselves inside of him.
Whether it's rap versions or Klingon versions on Star Trek or whatever.
Precisely. Exactly. I think it's, I mean, I find that very exhilarating and very exciting, because there's such incredible vision and power and potency in the plays and in the language that the idea that this vast array of people can find themselves, I think it's a healthy reflection of our society, and it's really quite wonderful.
Is there something about this moment, and by moment I mean the last decade or so, that has caused this? Because for many years, a century you could argue, there was a kind of diminution of Shakespeare's presence in our real lives.
Because I think that people were told that Shakespeare was not available to them, that you had to know this fact or this fact or this fact before you could find yourselves inside of it. And I think that fortunately over time, through any number of things, I assume that because there are tons of like Shakespeare festivals and summer productions that have flourished all over the country in the past like 50 years, that I think by bringing it to the people have found themselves inside of it, so that therefore people can claim it. And also it's great stories. It's just great stories. So it makes perfect sense that Hollywood would find it.
So the blurring of high culture and pop culture that we've seen in all realms of culture the last 20, 30 years is partly responsible for this.
I think very much so.
Romeo is Italian, always in and out of love.
Yes, that's good, until he meets
Ethel.
Do you think?
The daughter of his enemy.
The daughter of his enemy.
His best friend is killed in a duel by Ethel's brother, or something. His name is Mercutio.
Mercutio. Good name.
That clip we just heard, of course, was from Shakespeare in Love.
I found the film quite wonderful because the thing which I felt as though the film captured in a very specific way is this person who we discuss as if he were a god, as an in-process human being, as an in-process artist. And because any time I go inside of a play, I always try to, I don't care if it's Angels in America or The Tempest, I always go, this playwright had to write this play at this time in his life. There was some deep primal urgency which said, if I don't write this play, I will die. I will explode. My life is not capable of continuing. Because I think if you can find that urgency and that intimacy, then somehow you can make the piece breathe so a way that audiences, but more specifically the human beings who comprise an audience, can find themselves inside of the piece. So that in that film, I just love the idea that we were seeing this human being be a mess of a human being searching for a purity and an ideal and a sense of vision that was outside of himself. And the only way he could find that was by going deep inside of himself. So I found it very exhilarating.
And he was a mess of a human being, but the movie's effect, its takeaway, if you will, was not to diminish the artistic process or his genius.
At all, because simply because I think all of the components of our existence comprise the best that we have to offer, and also all the worst aspects of ourselves comprise the best that we have to offer. And that somehow I think that's very, very healthy, that we understand that that's where art comes from, the best and the worst of us.
And, of course, the fact that that film was written by Tom Stoppard, a great dramatic artist
precisely
in his own right, probably allowed us to see that.
Exactly.
The director and playwright George C. Wolfe. I talked with him in 2000 in the first season of Studio 360. We talked about all kinds of incarnations of Shakespeare's plays, the good and the not so good.
If we shadows have offended, think but this, and all is mended, that you have but slumbered here while these visions did appear, and this weak and idle theme, no more yielding, but to dream. Gentles, do not reprehend. If you pardon, we will mend.
Now, that was the definitive Mickey Rooney puck, of course, from 19...
Let's retire the role.
Exactly. From A Midsummer Night's Dream in 1935. As I said earlier in the program, there was this lull in Hollywood's embrace of Shakespeare for several decades. I noticed that in the Shakespeare productions you've done, you've made a point, it seems, of casting very popular film and television actors in the leads. In your Macbeth in 1998, you had Alec Baldwin and Angela Bassett. And in The Tempest, of course, Patrick Stewart starred. Are those artistic choices on your part, or is that another way to get an audience that may not regard themselves as Shakespeare's audience to come into the theater?
I think it's both, very much so, because, I mean, if it isn't grounded in some sort of artistic reality or desire, it's not going to spring forth into a production. But at the same time, there is part of this energy of wanting to attract and seduce or drop breadcrumbs, if you will, for people who will go, oh, no, that's not for me, so that they can go inside the theater and then find themselves inside the work.
Which I guess is one of the potential salutary effects of Shakespeare appearing in comic books. I mean, obviously there are those conservatives in the Academy and elsewhere who believe that this is all a sort of debasement of civilization and making Shakespeare, dumbing down Shakespeare.
Well, I don't think so. I remember I saw a production of Othello in college, which was a particularly bad one. and I remember at the end of the production being astoundingly and deeply moved. And I was going, so what's going on here? Because I think you have to trust the language, you have to trust the integrity and the power and the beauty of the words.
I mean, you mentioned the language, which is interesting, and I think people are always amazed and at the degree of inventiveness in Shakespeare's language, and that so much of the phrases and individual words that we regard as simply our common parlance were Shakespearean inventions.
Exactly.
I offer a toast. The undiscovered country.
Hamlet, Act 3, Scene 1.
You have not experienced Shakespeare until you have read him in the original Klingon.
Tach, pa.
Now, for those of our listeners who don't speak Klingon fluently, that was the to be or not to be soliloquy from Hamlet. There is a real question, I think, of how far one can stretch and change and play with any work of art, and especially Shakespeare, before it becomes absurd. Can that impulse go too far in modernizing, transforming Shakespeare?
If you don't respect the play in the process, yeah. I think the other side of it is that if you present him with such reverence, you're not honoring him either. Anytime I think you create art, I think you create a mess. I mean, Hamlet is a mess. Now what you try to do is try to craft a world where the mess of his process of trying to find himself and know himself and get to know how to transform feeling into action is very important, that you create a world that is clear so that therefore you can then see that. If the world that you create obscures that, that's a problem. At the same time, if you are sitting there reciting his language as if it is poetry, though it is poetic, then you're not allowing an artist to get inside of the emotional state of it. So I think it works both ways. Purity is a dangerous word, but I'll say the purity of that vision is, in Hamlet's case, is a person who is completely and totally falling apart.
Has that pendulum swung too far in the latter direction with these attempts, for instance, the film version of Romeo and Juliet that came out a few years ago with Leonardo DiCaprio?
I would think that it swings both directions all the time, and I think thus is the process of art. I personally am a very big fan of Romeo and Juliet because I thought it had a visceral power to it that I thought was just exhilarating. One, I think he's a brilliant filmmaker.
two households, both alike in dignity, in fair Verona, where we lay our scene. From ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean.
It was a very arresting and very disturbing and deeply compelling version of the play. I'm more attracted to art that smashes than I am attracted to art that sits on a shelf and is beautiful.
From forth the fatal loins of these two foes, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life.
This month is the 450th birthday of William Shakespeare. I spoke with the director and producer and playwright George C. Wolfe long, long ago, back at the turn of the century.